Now we're continuing our studies this morning in the first book of Psalms, and we come this morning to the very familiar 23rd Psalm. So let us read this Psalm. Let us hear the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen, and may God bless his word to us today. Psalm 23 is surely the best known of the Psalms and probably one of the best known passages in the Old Testament. It's sung at weddings and at funerals. Book after book has been written about it. One of the books on my shelves at home is an anthology of Psalm 23. This is what's written on the back cover. From time immemorial, Psalm 23 has enriched the hearts and imaginations of all sorts of people. It epitomizes man's deepest experiences of God. It demonstrates God's unchanging love for his children. In this book, 87 versions of the universal favorite of all psalms and hymns are brought together. So I thought I'd just read the 87. No, I didn't. The title in our Bibles, in the Bible to this psalm, is simply a psalm of David. Well, we all know that David was a shepherd lad. Remember the day when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the next king of Israel? David was out looking after the sheep. And it's assumed that one day as he watched his sheep, the idea dawned on David that God is like a shepherd. And so he began to think of ways in which that was true. And so he wrote the psalm. That's a load of rubbish, I think. That's not the case. Because to say that overlooks what lies behind David's confession. You see, King David wasn't the first person in the Bible to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Those words are found on the lips of David's ancestor, Jacob. Yes, Jacob the Twister, who by God's grace became a prince with God. Towards the end of Jacob's life, in fact, and Joseph, his son, came with his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, for the old man's blessing. And this is what the aged patriarch said. May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all the days of my life, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. You see, Jacob is saying there that the God of the covenant, the God of Abraham and Isaac, has become his God. The divine shepherd had pursued him as a lost sheep and rescued him and led him and disciplined him and guided him throughout his life. You see, it's not so much on shepherding, but rather on the narrative of Scripture and on the character of God that David was meditating when he exclaimed, "The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd." Later, at the burning bush, Moses would learn the same. Covenant-keeping God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would be his God. As the shepherd of Israel, he would lead his chosen people like a flock out of Egypt and into the promised land. And still later again, Ezekiel would make use of the same idea of the Lord as a shepherd who would gather and lead his people. So David isn't just drawing lessons from shepherding. He's applying a great text of scripture to his own life. He's saying, "I've proved the truth of what Jacob confessed. This is how I've discovered the power of scripture and the character of God for myself." He tasted the grace that his ancestor had tasted. And he's able to confess, "The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd." And that, it seems to me, is what the whole psalm is about. This is what it meant for David, that the Lord is his shepherd. Now, I say that because some people reckon that because there's a change halfway through, did you notice the first half referring to the Lord as "he," and the second half as "you"? Some people say there's a change, or two changes of picture here. They say that verses 1 to 3 are about sheep and shepherds. Verse 4 is about a traveler and his companion. And verses 5 and 6 are about the guest and his host. Well, I think that's too complicated. I'm a simple guy, and I think we can take the whole psalm as a commentary on what it means to confess the Lord is my shepherd. So, what is David saying here about the Lord being his shepherd? Well, I suggest he's saying three things. And I think if you look carefully at the text, I think this becomes clear. In verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Or, "I have everything I need." And in verses 2 and 3, he expands that. He tells us what that means. He's speaking about the shepherd's provision. In verse 4, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will fear no evil. I won't be afraid." And verses 4 and 5 expand on that, tell us what it means. And he speaks here of the shepherd's protection. And then in verse 6, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And that verse expands on that and tells us what that means. And he's speaking there of the shepherd's presence. So for David, having the Lord as his shepherd meant having the shepherd's provision for all his needs, the shepherd's protection from all harm, and the shepherd's presence for all time. Well, we need to look at how David works that out. Firstly, because the Lord is his shepherd, he has everything he needs. He has the shepherd's provision for all his needs. He, the shepherd, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, what are a sheep's basic needs? For visitors, I have to confess that I used to be a vet. That's what the title of this is all about. That's a long time ago, but simple things you remember. What are the basic needs of a sheep? Grass and water. But not any old grass. It needs to be fresh grass, green grass. And the shepherd make sure here that the sheep are in green pastures. But of course, green pastures don't just appear before the sheep. The sheep need to be driven, or in Bible times, led to suitable pastures. Up in the hills in summer, down in the valleys in winter. And so we read of the shepherd guiding them, leading them in paths of righteousness, in the right paths to the right pasturelands. They also need water. Perhaps you've never thought about that. Perhaps you've never seen a sheep drink, have you? But they certainly do need plenty of water in order to digest their food properly and to stay alive and healthy. Now, in Scotland, especially this year, there's been so much rain, the grass is constantly covered with moisture. And even on a normal summer day, they don't need to drink very much. On a normal summer day in the summer, there's a very heavy dew anyway in the early hours of the morning before most of us are out of our beds. And the sheep don't need to drink a lot of extra water. But in the east, where it's much hotter, they would certainly need to drink regularly. So the shepherd, as well as providing his sheep with green grass, also provides them with adequate water. Notice what David says. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now that's not just a quaint saying. You know, it sounds nice. No, no. That's what Eastern shepherds had to do. Because sheep won't drink from fast flowing streams. Not many people know that, but it's true. Take my word for it. I heard of a shepherd who several times a year had to gather his sheep on a hill farm in Argyllshire and drive them for about 3 miles from the furthest corner of the hill down to the steading. On the way, they had to ford 2 burns. For the non-Scots, they're streams, little rivers even. On a warm day, after being herded and driven such a distance, the sheep were so thirsty that their tongues were literally hanging out. However, at the first stream, there was lots of gravel and stones. It was a fast-flowing stream. There were plenty of ripples, and not one single sheep, not even a thirsty one, would stop to drink. The next stream, half a mile further on, it's a very broad ford. The water hardly seemed to move. And at these still waters, every sheep would stop and drink. Now, I don't know the reason. Maybe the fast-flowing water goes up their nose or something. But sheep don't like fast-flowing water. You see, the shepherd knows. And he leads the sheep beside quiet waters. Adequate good grass, quiet waters are all that the sheep really need. But to make the most of that, to digest that properly and to grow to their full potential, sheep need to be content. They need to lie down. So we read, he makes me lie down in green pastures. It's a wonderful picture of contentment and satisfaction. Now, here's something else you might not appreciate. It's one of the most difficult things to get a flock of sheep to lie down. But it's only when they're lying down that they can properly digest their food. They can chew their cud, get the best out of what they've eaten. There are 4 things that'll keep sheep from lying down. There's fear. Sheep are easily frightened, you know. And if there's a strange dog around, for example, they certainly won't lie down. Then there's antagonism within the flock. You know, there's very often a flock, a boss sheep, a bully. I was going to say it's a bit like a church, but I better not. Well, I said it. One who always wants to be the boss, stamps her feet, makes the others get up and move on. A perfect pest. Thirdly, an attack of flies. That will stop sheep lying down. I've seen this once or twice in Midlothian when I was a vet there. They call it strike. Flies start to breed around the base of the horns. And maggots begin to eat their way into the flesh. Hope this doesn't put you off your lunch. And the sheep can be so distracted, they won't possibly lie down. Actually, they even die from it. And then fourthly, there's hunger. A hungry sheep won't lie down. So for the shepherd to have his sheep lying down means that they're free from fear, free from bullying, free from insects, and free from hunger. They're content. He restores my soul. I've often been puzzled by that little phrase. He restores my soul, or he refreshes my spirit, he preserves my life. What's that got to do with sheep? Well, you know, there's one condition that sheep get occasionally, and all that's required is for the shepherd to get her out of it. It's when a sheep is what they call cast. She's lying down and she just can't get up. And the longer she lies down, the greater the danger, because the gases in her stomach begin to build up and she begins to blow up, and she certainly can't get up then. It happens basically because the sheep are pretty well nourished. In one instance, they find a nice hollow, they lie down, they stretch their legs, and they lose their equilibrium and they just can't right themselves. The other instance is when a sheep has a fleece that's got too heavy for it. And all the shepherd has to do is to come along and to turn the sheep on its feet again, and off it goes. But it means he's got to be attentive. He's got to see them when they're down. But it's such a simple thing to put them right. He restores their life. What David is saying here is that because the Lord is his shepherd, he lacks nothing. He has everything he really needs, not just to survive, but to get the best out of life. And notice the shepherd does it for his name's sake, for his reputation's sake. A shepherd is judged by other shepherds on the quality of his sheep. And the Lord makes sure his sheep lack nothing because it reflects on his reputation. Isn't that great? Well, in the second place, in verses 4 and 5, David is saying that because the Lord is his shepherd, he will fear no evil. He's speaking about the shepherd's protection from all harm. Well, now, what are the things in David's time that sheep needed for protection from? Well, there were thieves and robbers. There were wild animals like lions and bears that could easily kill and carry off a sheep. Wild birds that could attack the lambs. Snakes that could poison sheep, poisonous grasses. And there were a host of parasites and diseases that could devastate a flock. And here in this psalm, I reckon that all of these things are covered. Verse 4 speaks of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The footnote, actually, to the Bible gives an alternative translation there, which may be better. Though I walk through the darkest valley. See, on their way to suitable pasture lands, the shepherd would lead the flock through dark valleys. These were places where robbers or wild animals would be hiding, waiting to pounce on unsuspecting sheep. Notice what the shepherd does. He keeps them moving. They are walking. They're walking through the dark valley. They're not allowed to lie down in it. They're on the move to the light at the other end. And notice what else David discovered as he walked through these dark valleys. The Lord, his shepherd, was with him. The shepherd didn't abandon the flock in the dark valley. He was with them right there. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, says David. Now the shepherd's rod was a bit like a club that he used to fight off robbers and wild animals. And his staff was his crook. He used to pick up the lambs or to draw in a ewe that had fallen into a bog. These, the rod and the staff, comforted the sheep in the old sense of the word comforted. Drove them on, kept them going. You see, in that dark and dangerous place, they were safe because the shepherd was leading them through, was keeping them going, warding off their enemies, drawing them in when they strayed. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, now you say, John, sheep don't eat off tables. Do they? What's David talking about? Well, here are two suggestions. First, it's well known that when sheep are being fed hay or concentrates in wintertime, the ground on which they're gathered and fed can become so contaminated with parasites and bacteria that just being on that ground can lead to all sorts of serious illnesses. So, to help reduce that risk, hay is fed in racks and concentrates, and you've probably seen this in the hills in Scotland, are fed in V-shaped wooden troughs to keep it off the ground. In the East, apparently, they feed sheep on little raised platforms, tables, for the same reason, to avoid prolonged contact with bacteria or parasites. A table prepared in the presence of these enemies. Well, the second suggestion, apparently in the East, the shepherd would, in the middle of the day, clear the ground of anything that would endanger the sheep before he had his midday meal and siesta. The two most dangerous things were poisonous grasses and snakes. And so, with the end of his staff, he would root out the poisonous grasses and he would put them on the rocks to dry, so they wouldn't take root again. And with his rod, he would clear the ground of snakes, and he'd leave their dead carcasses on the rocks also. See? He was preparing a table in the presence of their now dead enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Well, I mentioned fly strike earlier. And one of the ways of preventing that, I remember this when I was a lad, before they were using powerful systemic insecticides that they use now, one of the ways used then was to anoint the sheep's head with a wonderful concoction of linseed oil and archangel tar. But it worked. It worked. So you see, in these different ways, the shepherd was protecting his sheep from harm and danger. And looking back on his life, David could say that because the Lord was his shepherd, he'd been protected from very real harm and danger, and he didn't need to be afraid. And then thirdly, David says that because the Lord is his shepherd, in verse 6, He will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he's speaking here about the Lord's presence, the shepherd's presence all the time. Look what verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Well, in the East, the shepherd would normally lead his sheep. And sometimes, I guess, he could get quite a distance ahead of them. And I like this suggestion, it's made a good number of years ago now, that the shepherd had two sheepdogs following behind the sheep. The word follow there actually in the psalm could be translated pursue. The two sheepdogs pursuing them. And the name of the two dogs? One's goodness and one's mercy. And sheep being what they are, when the shepherd's back's turned, they try and sneak off the road to get some what they think's better pasture. And without the shepherd even whistling, goodness turns round, circles the sheep back onto the path. And a bit further along, another sheep will go off after some unusual plant or something. And this time, mercy comes running along and turns the sheep back onto the path. You know, it's as good as having the shepherd himself right there with them. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, at the end of the day, the shepherd had led them, goodness and mercy had pursued them, and they'd arrived at the safety of the sheepfold, where the shepherd himself would sleep as the door. And they can rest safely for the night, because the shepherd himself is with them. And as David contemplates his life, as he looks back and as he looks forward, he can see that because the Lord is his shepherd, he can be assured of his presence, his goodness and mercy now, the Lord himself forever. Now that's a wonderful psalm, isn't it? And it's pointing to our wonderful shepherd God, who provides for all our needs, all of them. Physical, spiritual, and the contentment to enjoy them. Who protects us from all harm and danger. And whose presence we can know for all time. His Holy Spirit with us now. The Lord himself in glory. But we can't stop at the psalm, can we? The title for this series is The Hymn Book Jesus Used. You know, Jesus sang this psalm. Jesus knew this psalm well. And one day, he said to his disciples in John 10, I am the good shepherd. What was he saying? He was saying, I am the one and only. I am the true shepherd. I am the one Jacob spoke about. I am the one Moses spoke about. I am the one David spoke about. And I, the good shepherd, will provide you with all that you need. Not just to live, but to know contentment, to know fullness of life, to be free from fear and from distraction and from need. And I am the good shepherd, will protect you from all harm. Not just physical enemies. But yes, I'll protect you from the last enemy, death itself. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because you're with me even there. Notice it's the valley. of the shadow, not the valley of death. It's the valley of the shadow of death. For sheep of this shepherd, death is but a shadow through which we walk. And you know this, the shadow of a dog will never bite you, will it? And I, the good shepherd, will presence myself with you for all time. In this life, goodness and mercy will pursue you. And even when you're going off the path, goodness or mercy will bring you back. And then in heaven, he'll be with us forever. How is Jesus the Good Shepherd? Well, he tells us in John 10, actually, because he laid down his life for the sheep. Because our arch enemy, Satan, was desperate to get us from the shepherd. And our shepherd confronted him and laid down his life for us. You see, that's why Psalm 23 follows Psalm 22. You ever thought about that? Jesus went through Psalm 22, abandonment by God, death on a cross. He went through 22 in order to be the good shepherd of Psalm 23, who provides for us, protects us, and presences himself with us. Now, you know, it's great to know these truths, isn't it? And it's great to learn the 23rd Psalm off by heart. You do that, not just the first five words. Learn the Psalm. And it's a good thing to be able to say this psalm to yourself whenever you're feeling down. If you can't bring yourself to read any other portion of Scripture, read this, say this to yourself. That's good. But listen, the important thing, better than knowing the psalm or reading the psalm, the important thing is to know the shepherd for yourself. To be able to say and mean it, the Lord is my shepherd. Or as someone has said, in an emergency, rather than dialing 999, say, mine, mine, mine. That's the important thing. To know this shepherd for yourself, and to know that you're one of his sheep. And you can be, because that's what happens when you trust into Christ. That's what happens when you become a Christian. You become one of his sheep, and he is your shepherd. Well, are you trusting him? Are you? If you are, then the good shepherd is your shepherd. And like David in this psalm, you will know the good shepherd's provision for all your needs. You will know the good shepherd's protection from all harm and danger. And you will know the good shepherd's presence for all time. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you have been the shepherd of your people down the ages. Thank you that you want to be our shepherd. Oh, help us individually to be trusting into Christ who died for us. And help us together to be your prized flock, living wholeheartedly for you and your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.